W266DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. Democrats are more enthusiastic about this election as we head into night three of the party's convention. Take it from this voter in Chicago.
I don't think Joe Biden really had a chance of beating Donald Trump, but I think Kamala Harris has a hell of a chance to beat Donald Trump.
CBS's Caroline Cummings.
Tonight, the headliner is Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, who will formally accept that vice presidential nomination. And he is going to try to introduce himself to Americans for the first time. A poll that just came out shows that 4 in 10 don't know much about him.
Former President Bill Clinton among tonight's speakers. John Legend will perform, the singer addressing the DNC Black Caucus earlier.
We know this is a pivotal moment for our country, for our party, and we know that black folks are the backbone of the DNC.
Legend also performed at the convention in 2008 and 2020. In honor of Tim Walz, he'll play a song by Prince tonight, who was from Minnesota. Robert F. Kennedy will make a big announcement on Friday.
That could mean that he's dropping his independent bid for the presidency. His running mate has said that they might do that and endorse Donald Trump instead, something Trump has been seeking as Kennedy is drawing more voters from him than from Kamala Harris.
Reporter Doug Sovereign in Chicago. The heat is still on for millions of Americans today. This woman in San Antonio.
The heat is incredibly miserable.
It's more than 100 degrees there. A total of 6 people have now died in Italy, where divers recovered more bodies today from a sunken yacht. Bethany Bells with the BBC.
One by one, these bodies have been put into ambulances and then driven away from the port, often with police cars, with sirens, taking them away from here.
One person is still missing. President Biden spoke with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today to push a ceasefire deal as Israel's war rages on. Reporter Linda Gradstein.
Hezbollah launched more than 50 rockets at northern Israel today, injuring one man and damaging several homes. The attacks came hours after Israel carried out a series of airstrikes in Lebanon, targeting what it said were Hezbollah weapons depots. As international mediators try to reach a ceasefire deal in Gaza, the border between Israel and Lebanon has been heating up, with Israeli airstrikes deep in Lebanon and Hezbollah firing dozens of rockets each day.
And a new government report finds fluoride in drinking water at twice the recommended limit is linked with lower IQ in children. Fluoride strengthens teeth and reduces cavities, and it's long been considered one of the greatest public health achievements of the last century. But drinking too much of it can hurt learning abilities and memory. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A federal judge has rejected Republicans' proposals about counselors at the state's youth prisons. Lincoln Hills Copper Lake schools have been troubled for years, plagued with allegations of staff abusing inmates. After a lawsuit from the American Civil Liberties Union in 2017, guards were banned from using confinement as punishment, pepper spray, and any restraint other than handcuffs. Earlier this year, a guard died after an inmate pushed him to the ground and he hit his head. Republicans wrote to a judge asking for more leeway for guards, but Wednesday, a U.S. District Court judge said no, and if they want to make changes, they need to file more legal motions. And there's a new way for you to check out the water quality in Wisconsin's thousands of lakes and rivers. The Department of Natural Resources has launched the Wisconsin Waterway Explorer. It puts all kinds of data in one spot that staff, volunteers, scientists, and Wisconsinites can all share. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers prepare for the Ravens. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers' final week of training camp ends with a joint practice session against the Ravens this Thursday, and then their final preseason game Saturday at noon. Does the team need to bounce back after their struggles in Denver? Wide receiver Jaden Reed.
Knowing that that was a top defense in the league last year, you know, just really seeing how we match up and just executing well and, you know, just giving all the effort we got no matter what. So that's our mindset and goal.
In golf, the Wisconsin State Open continues today in Minocqua. Round 2 ending in a three-way Ray Tye, Max Lyons, Adam Miller, Sam Weatherhead atop the leaderboard. Baseball, the Brewers won their sixth in a row last night with a 3-2 win over the Cards in St. Louis. Frankie Montas allowing only one hit in seven innings, but the unsung hero was catcher William Contreras. Pat Murphy.
William, you got to give William a lot of credit. He had a great game tonight. Both sides of the ball, he was great. He really got Frankie going, too. I thought he called a great game.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the mid-50s, and a mostly sunny forecast into tomorrow, a high in the mid-70s. Chance of showers and storms tomorrow night in early Friday, then clearing Friday afternoon and a high around 80. Heating up into the weekend, well into the 80s. It's 67 right now.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane is on vacation, but I, Greg Bach, am your host. I'm going to be joined by Todd Alba live in Chicago, as well as sports writer J.R. Radcliffe and Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
This is a Civic Media News special report. Continuing live coverage from the DNC in Chicago, we now join WCPT and Mike Crute.
You're not giving her a speaking
part. I would certainly hope so.
One of the most dynamic communicators in the history of television, Dom. Everybody watched Oprah.
And Matt's former boss.
Oh, really? You work for Oprah. That's interesting. Matt Cummings from WCPT, your own Matt Cummings, supporting us. A lot of people supporting us here, Dom. The chair barely supports me some days. I'm going to sit down for a minute because it could be a long night.
It was the last night. A fun one, loving this town. But we wondered, we've been contemplating, of course, what a show last night.
I described it as we went off the air last night as the most dynamic political convention night in the history of ever, man.
Ever,
never
ever,
been better.
Ever, ever.
I don't know how any night could possibly top the simulcast. You had Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The campaign now is saying more than 18,000 people in that arena. They barely see it's 18,000, 19,000. Talking about the Fiserv Forum, and that was quite a contrast to the scene that was at the RNC about a month ago when the Republicans took the stage there. But to fill up two arenas concurrently, you got parties in Chicago, you got parties in Milwaukee, and you got Donald Trump home bemoaning every aspect because he knows the enthusiasm is entirely with Kamala Harris, with the Democratic Party at this time. And this party is a reflection of enthusiasm for the top of the ticket. And today is Tim Walz's day. The VP, Coach Walz, today is about lifting him up, letting you get to know him a little bit better. But so far, I like Coach Walz. I'd run through a wall for Coach Walz.
We had the ability to speak to one of his former staffers who's known Tim for a long time, was at the high school. Her brother played with Tim at the state championship game. And she worked
Mankato West, get it straight.
Yeah, West. Don't get it wrong, man. And one of the things that really came across from that conversation is, what you see is what you get. How genuine Tim Walz is. That's it. There's nothing deeper than that. And I really appreciated some of the comments yesterday from former President Obama, remarking on the lack of political consultants picking out his flannel wardrobe. It was just, I love that. And it just seems it's such a great contrast to the spoiled man, baby.
They come from his closet.
The rich boy.
And they've seen some things. And Gwen Walz in the box last night, the United Center, wife to Tim Walz. She was hooting. She was laughing. It was hysterical just watching the wife's reaction because she knows it's true.
It's funny because it's true. And the reason that a guy like Walz it comes across as so genuine and real and whatever is because he is. He's a teacher, service member, a public servant, congressman, governor, and a Midwesterner. So you can't go wrong there.
Sort of a A Big Ten choice. An NFC North choice.
So not only, as the word is, Oprah will be here tonight as well. Bill Clinton, the former president. Nancy Pelosi, former speaker.
Nancy Pelosi actually spoke to the Wisconsin contingent this morning.
Oh, yeah? Were you there?
No.
You had one job, Crudy.
I closed down two bars last night.
Yes, well.
I feel quite good that I'm here and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed doing this show with you this afternoon. A lesser man would have taken the night off.
That's right, man. It's a struggle, but we persist.
And we will be doing this all the way until the end of DNC coverage tomorrow night. Tomorrow, of course, will be Kamala Harris's night, the nominee coming to the stage. Tonight, Tim Walz's night, a very exciting night as far as I'm concerned. I think there's a lot to like about this candidate, Tim Walz. And so far, I think he has an unusual impact for a VP pick. I mean, think about what a yawner J.D. Vance was.
Mm-hmm.
Who cared? Trump didn't even care. When people have asked Trump about his VP pick, his response is, nobody votes for the VP. They're voting for me.
Nobody cares. Well, some people care. Was the guy even vetted some of the recordings of his
comments? Talk about Vance.
Talk about Vance, yes. Yeah,
he is a weird guy.
He's a weird guy, and he says some terrible, terrible things. And I think, you know, even though Trump might not care, I think someone brought it up. Where's Vance and Trump? Where are those events? They're splitting up.
I believe they actually do have some co-events coming up. They are campaigning in the swing states. Suddenly, it's almost like Trump noticed. He's in the middle of a campaign, and, you know, you can't golf each and every day. You're going to have to go out there and do a few campaigns.
Well, yeah, rounds. You're going to have to, you know, win the presidency if you want to golf every day.
Stay out of prison, some would say.
Yeah.
Oh, there's one of the camouflage Walz-Harris hats. I'm very envious of that woman's hat. I have one on back order. I'm waiting on my Walz-Harris camo hat. I'm going to wear it in rural Wisconsin, where they're primarily MAGA. But I'm going to sneak up on them. That's the camouflage. Sneaking up on
Sneak you. Up on you. And typically, you know, one would stereotype the wearing of the camouflage with perhaps, you know, the hunter rural type folks.
Sure.
And as the Dems have
That was my implication.
That was what the Dems have been continually doing is, you know, reclaiming some of these items, some of these words. Freedom, for
camouflage.
Example. Camouflage.
America.
It's not owned by the conservative. It's not owned by MAGA. Is it freedom to not let people marry who they love? That doesn't seem like freedom to me. Is it freedom to not allow for a person's ability to rule their own body? Is that freedom? That doesn't seem like the opposite of freedom to me. And I love that we're going right after the Republicans, where the Republicans think they are the strongest. No, you know, you're not a patriot if you only love your country when you win. You're not a patriot if you buy the lies of Donald Trump, the carnival barker, that this election was stolen, and you go storm the Capitol and try to, engage in the overturning of an election. You engage in insurrection. That doesn't make you a patriot. It makes you, I don't know, a felon if you get caught and convicted.
Well, he's been convicted, not of those particular felonies, but,
But the megas in general, you know what I'm saying?
Give the special counsel a time.
And Donald Trump says, if elected, he would pardon all those folks, man. All those folks that, oh, we're the law and order. What? You know, your followers beat the hell out of the Capitol Police for 3 hours while the commander-in-chief, you know, prior to encouraging the insurrection, sat on his ass for 3 hours and watched the bloody melee. Come on, man. These things are unacceptable, and and while I certainly love the uplifting rhetoric going on here at the DNC, you know, those things, I hope that they continue to push on those issues and bring it to the forefront. They tried to overturn the government, and they engaged in a multi-pronged effort, a conspiracy to do so, using fraudulent electors from multiple states. Remember when the letters came out, they were all basically the same wording. With all these different states, it was obvious back then that this was an effort, it was a conspiracy, and we're not going to get to the result of that, at least of Donald Trump's efforts in that conspiracy, unfortunately, presumably before this election. So I hope the Dems will continue to pound on what is obvious, at least to me, Donald Trump has no right to be near the White House once again.
Well, Dominic, apparently he took it kind of personal, some of the remarks made by both Barack and Michelle Obama last
Don't take
night.
It personal. It's only politics.
Dominic, Republican, and I quote the Raw story, one of my favorite aggregators, Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump complained about former President Barack Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama a day after the couple spoke about him. Yeah, I would say they referenced some issues, but not so much his name. A day after they spoke about him at the Democratic National Convention at the DNC, we're here right now, Dom, and during a campaign speech in North Carolina Wednesday, that's today, Trump went, let's just say, off topic.
No.
While talking about President Joe Biden's withdrawal from Afghanistan. So he's talking about Afghanistan, and then he says this. Did you see Barack Hussein Obama last night? Take little shots. He was taking shots at your president, and so was Michelle. You know, they always say, sir, please stick to policy. The former president said of his advisors, don't get personal. And yet they're getting personal all night long, these people. Do I have to stick to policy? Sir, you must stick to policy. You know, and it went on like this. During her speech at the DNC, Michelle Obama hit Trump on his recent quip about black jobs. And I think this was perhaps the best line of the night.
Yes.
We played it for you right here on WCPT last night, if you're listening to the special events coverage. More from Trump, though. I want to know who's going to tell him, oh, pardon me, this was what Michelle Obama said. I want to know who's going to tell him that the job he's currently seeking might just be one of those black jobs.
Yes.
I think it probably stung a little bit, and I think it's also quite interesting. Donald Trump doing an outdoor rally today with plexiglass in front of the stage. Trump now separated from the MAGA faithful by plexiglass, Dom.
Well, the last time I witnessed Donald Trump behind plexiglass is when he was
getting arraigned?
He was at January 6th, man. He was riling up the crowd, man. He was fomenting an insurrection.
Yes.
At the Ellipse. And I remember it because it was so strange because you don't see Trump behind plexiglass. I was like, wow, Trump's behind plexiglass at the Capitol addressing his own fans. Why would he need the plexiglass?
He didn't even want the metal detectors, Tom. He knew they weren't there to get him.
There's thousands of people out there. Let him in. They're there to what? Get Mike Pence, apparently?
Now, Dom, there was some breaking news earlier today, and the breaking news was a revision of the BLS jobs numbers, the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And it's interesting. We just had Tom Perez, former labor secretary, cabinet-level secretary under Joe Biden. We just had him on the show yesterday, and Tom's always been a really good guy to us. So I did ask him. I asked Tom Perez today.
You saw him today.
I saw him today, not more than an hour ago, fresh from the former labor secretary's lips. Dom, I asked him, how should we interpret these revised numbers, this 800,000 job revision downwards? That's pretty substantial.
It seems like a lot, yes.
Here's what
the former Department of Labor secretary had to say, Kareem.
Well, before I get there, I'll get there. I'll tell you what Perez said. But before I do, let me tell you what former President Trump is saying about this revision. Massive scandal! The Harris-Biden administration has been caught fraudulently manipulating job statistics to hide the true extent of the economic ruin they've inflicted upon America. New data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, I won't do the Trump voice continuously, as good as I am at this imitation.
It is grinding.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics shows the administration padded the numbers with an extra 818,000 jobs that do not exist and never did. The real numbers are much worse than that. And if Comrade Kamala gets another 4 years, millions more jobs will vanish overnight and inflation will completely destroy our country. Your life savings will be wiped out with a Trump victory. We will once again have the greatest economy in history. MAGA 2024,
now,
y'all.
Does he remember the COVID? Is that something that he totally just...
He doesn't take any responsibility, of course, for the COVID, Dom.
But the economy wasn't great during COVID, right?
Well, that was the COVID.
He inherited the economy from Obama. That was Fauci's fault. Remember how many continuous months of job growth did former President Obama have in his administration?
Like 72.
I mean, it was just bang, 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 and so then you know Trump gets elected, of course. You know, your policies, your input into the economy is as limited as it may be as a government official for, you know, versus free market capitalism, Crudy, doesn't start immediately. You know, you kind of ride the wave of what was given to you. And in, you know, lots of times it ends up being a Republican running the economy into the ground, handing off a terrible economy to a Democratic president.
Who'll get accused of not pulling the bus out of the ditch
fast enough. Right, exactly.
I recall Barack Obama's presidency.
You know what I'm saying? So for Trump to get up here and say these kinds of things, of course, it's asinine and it has no basis in truth. But I did see the numbers. Like, damn, that's a high revision. The New York Times had an article about a couple of paragraphs I want to throw out there. Then I want to hear what Tom Perez had to say. According to the New York Times, this year's revision was unusually large. Now, over the previous decade, the annual updates had added or subtracted an average of about 173,000 jobs. Still, substantial updates are hardly without precedent. Job growth for the year ending in March 2019, now this would be under Trump, was revised down.
Oh, you noticed it would be under Trump. It's almost like you can do math then.
Revised down by 489,000 jobs, or about 20%. And as the Times says,
massive scandal.
Even accounting for the new estimates, the big picture remains relatively unchanged. Job growth is slowing, but not collapsing. The unemployment rate is rising, but layoffs remain low.
Here's what the former cabinet-level labor secretary of the great United States of America had to say to yours truly today, because I asked Tom Perez, Tom, what should we make of these downward revisions? And I did think Tom was minimizing a bit. And as pointed out, he is still a senior-level advisor to the Biden administration, because we talked about this. We want to talk to Tom Perez. And I told you, well, Tom's still going to, you know, give you the company line. Let's not forget, he still works for the Biden administration. But here's what he said to me. He said, well, they revise him up, they revise him down. That was the minimizing part. He said, but let me ask you this, Crudy. If truly Biden has the ability, or Harris has the ability, to manipulate the numbers, this massive fraud, I told him Trump was characterizing as a massive scandal.
Yes.
He said, well, let me ask you this, Mike. If we control all these elements, why would we drop this during the middle of DNC week?
Right.
Like, rational people don't look for a scandal and a conspiracy under every rock, but certainly Republicans do in the midst 76 days to the election. I would certainly be making hay on this story if this happened, this massive downward revision, if it happened under Trump. You know, 76 days before the election, we'd be talking about it too. But the BLS, they're statisticians. They're not in it for a political upside. Because let's not forget, they don't replace all the bureaucrats down at the BLS every time we change presidencies.
Well, they may if Project 2025 gets enacted under a Trump administration. Crudy, the New York Times says this. For those who don't know, now you know. The monthly payroll figures are based on a survey of roughly 119,000 businesses and other employers. The large size of the survey makes it reliable but not perfect. Government economists must make assumptions to account for businesses that open or close or fail to report data. Those assumptions can be less reliable during periods of rapid changes in the labor market. Adding to the challenge, the response rate to all government surveys has been falling.
What, people don't answer their cell phones?
They don't fill out the form and send them in as required by the Department of Labor. 119,000 businesses and other employers are surveyed. So it's certainly higher than the
489,000.
489, almost 500,000 job revision in March of 19 under the Trump administration. And honestly, when that came through then, I was like, damn, that seems like a big revision down. And now this time it's 818,000. So And I would add one other caveat to this. I would think, I don't know, but if you were going to engage in some sort of conspiracy for this, and the danger being, of course, we use this information to make policy decisions, right? Like, I don't know, like what the interest rates would be. So, and what do we talk about? Well, inflation is too high. Do you think, what's the trade-off? If there's some sort of conspiracy, as MAGA or Trump would allege, with these labor jobs numbers, well, if it was known to us and to the Fed a long time ago that perhaps job growth had been slowing more than, or it wasn't growing as fast as it was, well, perhaps they would have made a change in the interest rates a couple of quarters ago.
Well, and maybe they still can. Talking about how large the cuts may come when the Federal Reserve actually chooses to act in their next meeting is in September. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates. I'm Mike Crute. That's my college roommate and longtime friend and co-conspirator Dominic Salvia. We are doing special extended coverage right here from the DNC at the United Center in Chicago for WCPT 820 AM. But also want to shout out our friends listening up in Minneapolis on KTNF 950 AM. And, of course, all our friends listening in Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. You know, we're going to start dipping in and taking some of the live speeches. I suspect we might have a few drop-in guests here as well at the table. Again, we're in the atrium outside the bowl at this time. But we're monitoring what's happening inside the bowl. And thankfully, Dom, although I got to tell you, yesterday, best night in political history, in my opinion. But at least I won't feel so pulled in two different directions at the same time, because my heart was in Milwaukee, but my body was here in Chicago. And, you know, I really wanted to be at both events, Dom. And obviously we could not do that. They were literally happening at the same time, the simulcast. But we talked to lots of friends in Wisconsin today that were at that event in Milwaukee last night. And they said rock concert doesn't cover the energy, the 18,000 people that started coming in at 3 o'clock. They packed it up by 5, 6 o'clock, people getting there late after work. But then they went and they partied, Dom. And after Kamala Harris gave her speech, they rolled in Michelle and Barack Obama speeches for the Milwaukee audience. But to think they concurrently filled two stadiums, two basketball NBA stadiums, Donald Trump couldn't fill an airplane hangar in Howell, Michigan today. Yesterday, I guess. He's in North Carolina today. Maybe a few more there. And one of the prominent speakers contrasting the RNC and DNC for just a little bit longer, Dom, I don't know if you saw your childhood hero Hulk Hogan made some untoward statements last night.
But Hulk, man, don't forget to eat your vitamins. Yeah, listen to your mother and father.
That guy? The headline here, racist and drunk. Hulk Hogan's rant about body slamming Kamala Harris draws vast rebuke. Let's rebuke him. I rebuke him. Donald Trump loving wrestling icon Hulk Hogan Tuesday was filmed going off on a rant against Vice President Kamala Harris, in which he talked about body slamming her and questioned whether she was an Indian. Well, I wonder where he'd get that from. In the video, wow, which was originally published by TMZ, Hogan asked the cheering crowd of supporters, "Do you want me to body slam Kamala Harris? Do you want me to drop the leg on Kamala?" He then went on to question Harris's ethnicity. "Is Kamala a chameleon? Is she Indian?" Hogan then raised his hand and mockingly said, "How?" Apparently mistaking Harris's Indian ancestry for being
how?
A Native American. You know, like,
how? Wow, dude.
Wow.
That's,
yes,
that's pretty racist and ignorant on top of it all.
It just may be. And that's the one of the keynotes at the RNC. Well, tonight is Tim Walz' night here at the UN, the United Center in Chicago. We're going to be here through all the speeches. We're going to play them live for you right here on WCPT, 820 AM, 950 AM, KTNF, and across the Civic Media Network in the great state of Wisconsin. We'll take a break right now. Come on back with us. Day 3 DNC, live from Chicago.
The Shaw, WAUK. CBS News Special Report. Tonight at the Democratic National Convention here in Chicago, the focus is on Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, who will accept the nomination for vice president. This Minnesota delegate tells CBS News Radio,
"He's a compassionate man. He's full of integrity. And I think just to hear how he's going to move and support the vice president."
More from CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
"Expect a lot of conversation about his Nebraska upbringing, his geography teaching background, the work he's done in Congress as a bipartisan deal maker, but then also in more recent years to enact Democratic priorities like gun control and abortion rights in his state."
Other speakers tonight include former President Bill Clinton and House Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi. Reporter Doug Sovereign reports on a development in another political camp.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to shed some light on his plans this Friday when he says he'll address the path forward that could mean that he's dropping his independent bid for the presidency.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Democratic National Convention roll call was full of cameos, music, and even Lil Jon, but Governor Tony Evers had a tough time getting through his lines. People online had a lot to say, but at least he had a good sense of humor.
Yeah, it was all. I mean, it was a mistake. Life goes on.
On Twitter, Evers used his classic holy mackerel. And fans could buy booze for the first time at UW-Madison's Fieldhouse. The Badgers volleyball squad took on Bradley in an exhibition. This year, alcohol will be sold at most athletic facilities on campus, and they're currently in the middle of that rollout. According to the Wisconsin State Journal, there were a few drinks available for about $12, and they were all a big hit. People who appear to be under 40 have to scan their ID, and no one can buy more than two drinks at a time. Alcohol will be sold at Camp Randall for the first time next Friday when the Badgers take on Western Michigan. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. You can track the trajectory for my addiction if you gauge my weight from season to season. Those are the words of Matthew Perry from his book, Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing. Perry says when he was carrying weight, he was drinking, and when he was skinny, it was pills. And when he had a goatee, it was lots of pills. According to the New York Post, series producers Marta Kaufman and David Crane spoke to the Times of London about their process when they learned of Perry's addiction to drugs and alcohol. Crane said they asked Perry if he wanted to leave the show to deal with his substance issues, to which Perry replied, "No, this is really important to me." Perry said in his book that he estimates he spent roughly $9 million in an attempt to become sober. The late star also said that season 9 of Friends was the only season of the show he was fully sober for. Perry was found dead in his hot tub in October 23 from a ketamine overdose. His live-in assistant has recently been charged, along with four others, in connection to Perry's death. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the mid-50s, and a mostly sunny forecast into tomorrow, a high in the mid-70s. Chance of showers and storms tomorrow night in early Friday, then clearing Friday afternoon and a high around 80. Heating up into the weekend, well into the 80s. It's 67 right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trinity Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. They put out fake AI photos of Taylor Swift saying that she endorsed him.
Right. And Trump retweeted that. And of course, all of that is untrue.
Don't mess with the Swifties. You'll have my daughters showing up.
I mean,
at your
it's
house.
A whole new level of Swift boating.
Trump and Las Vegas might get Swift boated, all right. Taylor Swift boated.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Todd Alba.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Join us on our next show for the last day of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, live with Trigvi Olsen and more. It's going to be a party. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. Continuing coverage from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Now, your host, Mike Crute.
Freedom and this concept of joy being brought back to the campaign. And yes, we absolutely all know that Trump offers an existential threat to our democracy. But these happy warriors, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, they have changed the attitude, the entire temperament of a party, of a nation down. And the only thing the other side can do is cry. They just can cry.
Well, and for Donald Trump to go out there and just lament, oh, this is, they're being so personal. Don't be personal. I mean, dude, do you listen to any of the words that have come out of your mouth since, I don't know, forever? It was CNN special correspondent Jamie Gangle said this. We have Stevie Wonder singing tonight. We have John Legend. You've heard all the excitement on the floor. Get ready. Oprah Winfrey, we have a surprise guest tonight. Oprah Winfrey will be part of the program tonight.
That's about the only way you could possibly top both of the Obamas last night. And Michelle Obama, I think, from, you know, the unofficial polling I've done around the convention center today, Michelle Obama left a greater impression on the audience, I think, than former President Barack Obama did.
I mean, certainly with me. And maybe it's, you know, you get so spoiled and so used to.
I miss the Obamas.
You get so spoiled and so used to hearing the former President Barack Obama speak. But no, Michelle just knocked it out of the park. It was amazing. And I'm not a big fanboy about anything, but I thought what Michelle Obama said last night and how she said it, in the way she said it, was one of the best speeches politically I have ever witnessed.
Folks, you are listening to special Day 3 DNC coverage live from the United Center. We've been joined by a guest right here at the table. She is Liz Walters from the great state of Ohio. You're the Democratic Party chair there. Is that correct, Liz?
I am. Thank you so much for having me. It's exciting to be with you.
Hi, Liz. Thank you.
We've got Ben Wickler, so he's such a high bar. But
listen, Ben and Lavora and Ken Martin, we have some powerhouse state party chairs in the Midwest, and they have been so good to the rest of us. They mentor us. They coach us. We learn a lot from the work happening in the Midwest. And like we say as a team, Midwest is best, so we're all working together to build up the whole region and be that blue wall that protects our democracy.
Well, we did have former Congressman Tim Ryan on our earlier show today, and Tim's a great guest, although I did give him a little grief about Ohio State. I'm a Badger guy. I got to be true to my school.
I don't know if you missed it, but we may or may not have almost broken the feed last night with our OHIO chant. We were pretty proud of that. So
it was pretty amazing. You know, I got to tell you, last night we sort of had to split our attentions between what was happening in Milwaukee. We were taking the wall speech, and then we were taking the – It was dynamic. It was brilliant, I think. And I don't know how they're possibly going to top it tonight or tomorrow night, Liz, but
I mean, listen, if that was day two, like, buckle up. Day three, day four, we might blow the actual roof off this place. It's going to be incredible. And I think it's like the ultimate mic drop to fill the DNC and the former RNC stadium all in the same night. I think that tells you where this country is and where the Midwest is and what we're ready to do in the next 70-some days.
Liz, let's talk about a less appetizing topic, J.D. Vance, also from the state of Ohio.
Ohio's own J.D. Vance.
You know, Vance was darkening our doorstep in Wisconsin yesterday. He was in Kenosha, and they asked him for a comment on the first night of the DNC, and his literal comment was, boo.
Okay,
so thoughtful,
right.
So thoughtful.
Yeah, digging deep for that one.
Real intellectual giant, that one.
But Tim Ryan said, you know, Tim ran, in the Senate race and didn't have a billionaire sugar daddy to help pull him across the line.
Yeah.
But Tim Ryan said that effectively J.D. Vance is a god-awful politician.
Oh, yeah.
And can't wait for the debates. He said, you know, we crushed this guy in the debates.
100%.
So tell us more about that race and what we could learn about J.D. Vance.
Listen, I think what you saw in Ohio in 2022 was a couple important realities. One, you know, investment in candidates across the country matter. And yes. We have to be fighting everywhere. I think Ohio's worth fighting for. Tim Ryan thinks Ohio's worth fighting for. And he ran a hard race. And ultimately, as you noted, Peter Thiel and Mitch McConnell bought him a Senate seat, bought J.D. Vance a Senate seat. And I think the other thing that race shows you is that it matters when we have these dangerous, out-of-touch, unqualified candidates show up in our communities after living in Silicon Valley and drop in and think they can just, you know, run for president someday. He has literally nothing to recommend him. As you've noted, he's a pretty bad politician. He's been pretty bad at a lot of things he's tried to do. He doesn't have a career record to speak of, and in the 18 months he's been in the U.S. Senate, he has nothing to show for it. He sponsored the sum total of one bill that Sherrod Brown wrote, so credits him for joining what we think is the best senator in the country in that work, but that's it. 18 months, one bill. That is not what the Ohio voters sent him there to do. I think we can safely say that we have buyer's remorse, and the rest of the country will too.
Sherrod Brown, the current senator from Ohio and hopefully soon to be reelected.
Yeah.
But he's got a tough race ahead. And I saw J.B. Pritzker, the governor of the great state of Illinois, when he came off the stage, and I believe he called himself a real billionaire as, in contrast to Donald Trump.
Donald Trump was rich in stupidity, I believe, was the quote.
Yes.
But it was interesting that Pritzker, when he came off the stage, his team sent out a ask for support of the Sherrod Brown campaign.
That's right.
And I thought it was an interesting thought, but Sherrod Brown, we need to hold this Senate seat. How important is that, not just to the Senate math, because we don't have a margin of error, but also to continue to have blue representation in the state of Ohio?
It's so critical. And I think, as you noted, right, there is no way to keep the majority in the U.S. Senate without Sherrod Brown. In Ohio, we know we have an important assignment this year. We've been working hard on that for since May of last year to get ready for this fight, to close these last 70-some days strong. We have to send Sherrod Brown back to the U.S. Senate. You know, most importantly, Sherrod Brown fights for Ohioans. He has stood up to Wall Street, to Big Pharma, and he even stands up to his own party when he thinks it's what's right for Ohioans, and we're proud of that. But I think the other thing that folks need to know is what a moral voice Sherrod is in the Senate for working people. He gets up every day, and all of us from Ohio, we count ourselves lucky if we are gifted one of his canary pins. He wears a canary in a cage pin on his lapel that was gifted to him by the mine workers when he was first sworn into Congress to remind him of who he's there fighting for. It was the only form of workplace safety that workers had for generations. They didn't have a government that cared enough or a union strong enough to protect them, and they knew when that canary stopped singing, they had to get out of the mine. And so he wears this rather than that big piece of fancy jewelry he got every day, so he knows who he's there working for. And so not only does Ohio need it, but this country needs that voice in Washington.
Folks, you're listening to special coverage of the DNC on the Devil's Advocates radio show. Liz Walters, Dem Party Chair of the great state of Ohio, joining us at the table. Liz, thank you for doing so. 30 days ago, it was a whole different world. in the state of Wisconsin, after the Harris campaign started, we signed up like 42,000 volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
The energy, obviously, that's a big thing that we're talking about here. What's it been like in Ohio?
A same vibe, right? It is an exciting time. I think you feel this renewed enthusiasm and hope and energy, and I think we're bringing joy back into our politics, which feels so good for those of us who have been out there battling out in the heartland,
right.
You know, something different. And I think, just like Wisconsin, in the 8 days after Ohio committed our votes to Kamala Harris, we signed up 24,000 brand new volunteers in
wow.
our state. We, in the first 2 days, shifted 900 new people to go knock doors, make phone calls, to talk about Kamala Harris, to talk about Sherrod Brown, to talk about our frontline members of Congress that are going to help make an impact in making Leader Jeffries, Speaker Jeffries, it's Amelia Sykes and Marcy Kaptur and Greg Landsman. And it's just so exciting. I feel like I'm repeating myself, but you know, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to put those feelings into words. You just you feel it, you know. And I'm an Obama kid. That was my first time learning how to organize. And man, it feels a lot like that.
Yeah.
Let me interrupt.
Yeah,
sorry, Dom. The state of Ohio used to be the canary in the coal mine for the nation. We
yeah.
would watch the state of Ohio, and as Ohio went, often would go the presidential race.
Yeah.
How do we get back to considering putting Ohio in the blue column? Liz Walters, the chairman of the Democratic Party of Ohio, Give me something to believe in, sister.
Yes. So listen, we had to acknowledge, I've been chair for about 3.5 years, and we've been wandering in the wilderness for a little bit, right? And we've always had Shared there to help guide us, and we are so grateful for his leadership. And working alongside him, we've been charting a new path for this party. But the most important thing that we can root it in is data, which is exciting, but I'll summarize it in three things.
Okay.
One, we have to turn out our big six counties. We have to turn out the base, particularly voters of color and young people in Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, Dayton, Akron, Toledo. We also throw Athens in there, our little Appalachian blue dot that we're so proud of. We have to fight for and win the suburban battleground counties that have been shifting our way organically, but we just really hadn't put the work in, and we've been putting the work in for 3.5 years, and you can really start to see that difference. And then, and your listeners will appreciate this, it's really technical. We can't get our ass kicked in rural Ohio. We have got to show up and fight for every vote. We got to put that math together. Sometimes it's complex math, but at the end, if we do it right, we're going to win. The other thing we're working on alongside that is really important fights on democracy. What you see happening in Washington with that dysfunction and division, it's the end result of a long set of projects by the Republican Party in Ohio and states across the country to suppress voters, to break access, to make it harder for voters to make their vote count on maps. So in 2023, you saw we fought for our right to the citizen ballot measure after Republicans had an illegal statewide election to try and take it from us. Mm-hmm. We enshrined the right to abortion by 13 points in Ohio. We passed marijuana legalization. And this year, you're
going to... When's that kick in?
It just did a couple weeks ago. Come on.
Let's go
come
on Ohio.
Over.
Go
come on
Ohio.
Over. It's not shocking. I think like the first set of numbers from the first week of sales was like something just eye-popping in terms of dollars. But the other thing we're working on this year, you know, my number one job is Sherrod Brown, but we have a coalition of voting rights groups that are working on redistricting reform. And believe it or not, that fight is being led by the former Republican Chief Justice of the Ohio Supreme Court. Mm. And if you would have told me a year ago that I'd be sitting here talking to you about winning a ballot measure on democracy, abortion, and weed, and I'd be in a coalition with the Republican Chief Justice, I would have thought you'd maybe been smoking something already. But it is, you know, it is working. And I think that's a lesson for Democrats is we got to fight for our candidates, but we got to fight for the issues and democratic safeguards that we need to keep our country going.
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates, Liz Walters, Ohio's Dem Party chair. Liz, it sounds like a lot like Wisconsin in this regard, the rural voters. You know, they've been sliding away from the Democratic message and party over the last several years. And I think we're slowly making some inroads. What's the plan and to contact and motivate and you know, change some minds? I think there's a lot of misperceptions about what, you know, the Democrats are trying to do, certainly here in Wisconsin, and I imagine very similarly in Ohio. How do you reach those folks and change some minds in the rural areas?
Yeah. You know, again, not rocket science. Step one is showing up. You got to be there. You can't phone it in. We can't, you know, make phone calls sitting in a faraway city. We got to be in community with folks.
Yeah.
Number two, we have to trust and follow the lead of local leaders, of rural voices, rural leaders who care about their community and want to see different leadership. One of the things we are proudest of about 2023, yes, we enshrined abortion. That was amazing. But while doing that, we protected six critical rural mayors. And everybody said, you can't talk about abortion and protect these rural mayors. Well, you know what? I think sometimes we put rural voters in a box. And we ascribe things to them that maybe aren't true.
Right.
So when we go out there and have conversations about our values, turns out rural voters care about healthcare freedom too, right? We just got to know how to get out there, who to message with, who to talk to, and we have to follow the lead of local leaders because rural voters know their communities best.
Liz Walters, Democratic Party Chair, great state of Ohio. We've got to turn to the speeches and the performances here in just a moment. Liz, final thoughts from you. What would you want the people listening in Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, what would you want them to think about this convention and what should their takeaway be from a Dem Party chair?
I think we should be so excited about the future of our party. We should be so excited about the next 75 days, or I've lost track now. I think we're all running on about 3 hours of sleep and 15 Diet Cokes a day. But it is a huge sea change to watch the past literally pass the torch literally in this hall over the next couple of days. and see the party move forward in a bold new direction that includes all of us, rural voters, suburban voters, city voters, Midwest voters, coastal voters. There's a place for all of us in this party. And with Vice President Harris and Governor Walz, there's a place for all of us in this country. And we should be really proud of that.
What do you think about a Big Ten guy like Walz getting featured tonight?
I'm so excited. And I got to tell you, as someone who has been pretty frustrated by the fact that J.D. Vance only cares about Silicon Valley, I'm ready to have a vice president who cares about Ohio Valley, Mahoning Valley, the Cuyahoga Valley, the Miami Valley, the Appalachia of Ohio, and those folks are going to want Governor Walz to be their vice president.
Thank you so much, Liz Walters, great chairman of the great state of Ohio. Thank you.
Thank you,
for
Liz.
Joining
Thank
us
you.
Here at the table. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We're bringing you special live coverage of the DNC Day 3. And I think we got to go inside the room. Stevie Wonder has come to the stage. And Kenan Thompson and friends. I saw Kenan earlier today, comedian from Saturday Night Live. They're going to do a presentation on the Project 2025. Let's take some of Stevie Wonder's address to the crowd. Alex, help us out.
Win the broken hearts. Win the disenchanted. Win the angry spirits. Now is the time.
I thought Stevie was going to sing.
This is the moment to remember when you tell your children where you were and what you did. As we stand between history's pain and tomorrow's promises, we must choose courage over complacency. It is time to get up and go vote. Listen, the choice is clear. Clear than anyone else is saying. Did you hear me? Clear than anyone else is saying. You feel me? We need to choose joy over anger. Kindness over recrimination, and peace over war, every time. We must choose to be above the ugly words, the hateful anger, and the division those words and anger create. We must keep on keeping on until we truly are a united people of these United States. And then we will reach our higher ground. Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready to reach your higher ground?
I am ready.
Are you ready to reach our higher ground? Tell me. Eugene, are you ready? Are we ready? Because you know we need Kamala Harris. Yes, we do. And we need a great man as we do have as a future vice president. You know that. So you know what? I'm depending on you to do, as Spike Lee would say, the right thing.
I guarantee you Republicans tomorrow accuse Stevie Wonder of reading off a teleprompter.
Are y'all ready? Are you ready? Mouski, are you ready?
I'm ready, Steve.
Kansas, are you ready?
All right, ready, everybody. Clap your hands like this. Everybody clap your hands. Clap, 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 clap. Now somebody scream. Here we go.
Are y'all? People,
you sing.
Keep on lying.
That's Stevie Wonder, y'all. Higher Ground. And this party is just getting started. We are live, day three of the DNC. Stevie ain't done yet, though. Pump it up, Alex. Pump it up. Want to get a party started. Stevie Wonder ain't a bad way to start.
A little more classic than Kid Rock.
I call it Bob. Folks, live at the DNC, day three. Today is Tim Walz's day. That was Stevie Wonder. Keenan Thompson and guest, comedian, coming to the stage. They're going to talk about Project 2025. Also, tonight is a big night. We've got Hakeem Jeffries coming up. We've got the former president, Bill Clinton, coming up. He is one of the big headliners tonight. Nancy Pelosi. Now, I've seen a lot of negative press for Nancy Pelosi, but, you know, she's still all right by me. And, of course, eventually, we're going to crescendo this evening with Tim Walz. Tim Walz. Also, there are a few other big names you should know about. Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, very intriguing candidate in his own right. Almost chosen to be the VP. Governor Westmore of Maryland, he is raising his profile. Pete Buttigieg, everybody loves them. Some Mayor
Pete. Oh, yeah, I can't wait to hear Pete speak this evening.
And, you know, John Legend with Sheila E. is going to play some Prince. Let's Go Crazy. My understanding will be the musical performance by John Legend later in the day. And Amy Klobuchar, the fine senator from the great state of Minnesota, she was a presidential candidate once upon a time in her own right. She will help to introduce her governor, Minnesota governor, Coach Tim Walz, the vice presidential nominee. That's all going to happen. We're going to go back to the DNC. Keenan Thompson coming to the stage. Let's play it for the people, Alex.
Project 2025, the Republican blueprint for a second Trump term.
He's holding a huge book.
Yeah, boo.
He had that same shirt on.
It is a real document that you can read for yourself at KamalaHarris.com/Project2025. You ever seen a document that could kill a small animal and democracy at the same time? Here it is. You know how when you download an app and there are hundreds of pages there that you don't read, it's just the terms and conditions, and you just click agree, right? Well, these are the terms and conditions of a second Trump presidency. You vote for him, you vote for all of this. Let's take a look. All right, do we got Matt here with us tonight? Is Matt here? Hey, there he is. Matt, how are you, sir?
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pat Kreitlow. Thursday morning from Chicago, we'll preview the big night for Kamala Harris as the vice president accepts the presidential nomination at the Democratic Convention.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Busted Pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
If the critique, if the beef of Tim Walz is that he spent money on children, on what they needed, whether that be universal meals or whether that be, you know, record amounts for a state to invest in early childhood development, I am like, man, you are critiquing this guy and making him even more my hero.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.com.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.